This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, back in the Vision 2024 studio, sponsored by great partners at Napa Auto Care. And if you're not Napa Auto Care, please contact your salesperson, talk to your store. It's been a great conference so far. Just a little bit of information. 1,200 newbies here, 3,500 people here, 1,200 newbies. I got to tell you, talking to some people and trying to come up with a ratio of young to old, and I was saying is like two-thirds is young people here. I don't know what my panel thinks of that, but let me introduce them first. I got a great panel here. Matt Wagg is here, Accelerated Diagnostics and Automotive in Bennington, Nebraska. Hey, Matt.
Thank you for having me, Carm.
When you came on with me for your first ever episode, you were in business. Like, it was almost, you were on your honeymoon in your business. It was so new.
Yeah.
And he told the story of his coach. And the thing I loved about it is he had a business plan. And it just got scrapped. The bank looked at this and said, what? It was a WTF moment for him when they looked at the business plan. And then he went back. He went to school. It's a great story of, I want to be in the shop business. And how can I do it? So, and you recently, I think, went out and did some speaking at a college.
I got invited to do a leadership talk about my experiences as a leader, which I look back and it's been nearly 20 years of different leadership roles all the way from when I was in high school. Just a blast.
Dealership technician, am I right?
Yep.
In the early days?
Yep.
AJ Neely's with us, Neely Auto and Tire, 5 locations, Edgewater, Deal, Onings, Pasadena, and Rockville, Maryland.
Yeah, I think
did I get them all right?
Farm, that's it. Yeah.
I looked it up on the internet.
That's good. You did good.
Thank
Neely
you.
Tire.
And I was just going to.
And you spelled my name right, so that's good.
Yeah.
So.
In fact, oh my God. Always forget the E before
it's
the Y.
It's not the AJ, that's the hard part. It's a Neely.
I type in N-E-A-L. And then I got an EY.
Yeah. I always just a little write it in.
And the thing I love about AJ, he's not afraid to correct me. He's doing EOS.
Yes.
Which is phenomenal. AJ's been a lot of episodes.
Pure. Huh? EOS pure.
Is EOS pure?
Yeah, we don't dabble in it. It's you're all in or you're not. So,
and there are some people that buy traction and think they're in it.
Yeah, or they'll just like, well, I like this piece or I like that piece. Right. But the Barry Barrett podcast series. Yeah. Like, so they're all in or not at all.
Just go to my website, type in EOS. There's got to be almost 10 episodes there. It's unbelievable stuff. Yep. John Long is also with us from Total True Automotive, 3 locations, shirts. And wait a minute, it's not shirts anymore.
Well, we still have 2 locations in shirts, but yes, it's
not. Oh, that's right. It was shirts and New Braunfels, Texas?
New Braunfels.
Braunfels. Wow. And John's been on before. You've all been on before. Thank you so much for being here. Look at it. Town Hall Academy Mastermind. Thank you so much to our sponsor, Napa Trax. Did you know that Napa Trax has on-site training plus 6-day-a-week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. That is the coolest thing. Hey, I'm a local guy. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web. I'll spell it out for you, NAPATRACS.com. You're going to learn something really positive, I'm sure of it today. We've got a couple of different topics, not just one here in this Town Hall Academy. You guys know each other, AJ, Matt? Yeah, I think you met for the first time.
We did, yeah. So we connected yesterday. We've been in a couple classes together, and kind of a neat thing for me kind of comes full circle as we sit here. This is really surreal and quite a pinnacle moment in my career in this journey of being a shop owner. But 2019, before I opened my shop, so we opened the shop in September of 2020, but years leading up to that, I financed my own way down to Vision for quite a few years, took time off of work, and I live 2.5 hours north of here. So I have the luxury of driving. Well, building into my business, I listened to Carm all the time, nearly every day. I traveled a lot for my job at the time, so I would just put on a podcast. That's how I started to get some of my business acumen and
learn
a lot about
this.
So a huge testament to what you've done to help me be successful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just so happened to be listening on my drive to Vision in 2019, I believe. It was a podcast with AJ Neely and yourself. I think it might have been one of your first ones you guys did together. And it just talked about AJ's story and his drive and his passion to get his shop going and what he went through and how he went all in on that. Just hearing another person be in a situation similar to what I had to do, that gave me so much courage for that next year to let's pound this, make this happen, because I had so many odds against me in that time frame. And it took little things like your guys' conversation there to help and instill courage in me to actually go forward and do this.
You've just fueled my tank for the next 9 years. Since this month is 9 years.
So a lot of people just know that you made a profound impact on somebody like me and my family and my team and our community.
So
thank you, AJ.
And you met AJ for the first time, what, yesterday, right?
Yeah. It wasn't until, and I wasn't even going to email you that I was coming here. And I just say, hey, maybe I'll just see you out there, Carm. And then you just created this opportunity. And again, here we all are.
Well, I look back at my notes and I said, how long has it been since AJ's been on? And I've spelled his name wrong. Yeah. So
I says, well, because you Googled the wrong name, right?
Because I got to get him back on so I can prove to him that I can put that E before the Y.
That's right. It's good. Got to make up for it. Right?
Oh, my God. All right. Hey, look, we're going to talk about three different topics, as I said. I won't tease you with all of them, but we want to talk about how do we earn customer loyalty? I think you got to listen so hard to what these guys are doing because they run great businesses. Who wants to start? John, talk to me. Earning customer loyalty, what are we doing?
Yeah, I think we just had actually a great lunch with Scott Stratton, and he talked about this tremendously over with everybody. And he told the story of Joshua the Giraffe with Ritz-Carlton and just that whole story in itself. And if you guys don't know the story, just go Google it. It's an amazing story that Ritz-Carlton, a teammate from there, had a loss prevention guy. And it's doing those things for those customers is what keeps bringing them back. I told that story to it was funny at our table, you know, while we're doing this, I looked over at one of the other owners that was sitting next to me. I said, I just told this story like 4 weeks ago to our teammates. And I had three of our teammates at the table, and they're just like, they knew the whole story, which was coming, which slide was next, because it was the exact same thing. And I was joking. I'm like, Scott just stole my stuff. He just stole one of my stuff here.
The thunder.
Yeah. But just doing stuff for those customers to bring them back, doing the unexpected. But when you do something unexpected, is that good or bad? But obviously you want the good stuff. That's what they remember, making those memorable moments.
Yeah, it's those stories. I had a guy tell me, and think of it this way, right? Bottom of the ninth, two outs. What did you do to wow that customer, right? That's what they talk about. It's the story. It's not the fancy stuff like, oh, the 5-year, 50,000-mile warranty, the 0% financing, the ASC certified tech. They don't care about that stuff. They want to know, what did you do to drive it home? And again, if the goal at the end of the day is keeping people safe and reliable on the road, how'd you get them to soccer practice? How'd you get them to that on that trip? Those are the stories. That's what's, and that's the stuff that's easy to talk about, right? And so it's, you don't have to remember the unique selling points of your business. You can just, those stories, it's like good bacteria.
You're experience makers. Who wants to come in and get their car fixed?
They don't care about that.
They come in and get their car fixed and they're in pain, if you will. And when they walk out, they feel good about having chosen you, or you've given them a greatest experience in the world. Doesn't that build customer loyalty? Absolutely does. And I always say the word sticky. How do you make sticky customers that want to keep coming back?
Yeah. I think one of the things we really work on, and one of the things that I've really stressed and has have in my business model, is being a little bit heavy staffed on the front end of things. That way we have the ability to keep up with communications. I think a lot of places really struggle with communicating properly or being a little bit short on manpower to be able to give that experience. So the way that I went about it was, as I decided to hire two very top talent service advisors that are exceptional. They have two different skill sets. They work great with two different styles of people. These guys are polar opposite personalities, but they work very good and complementary. So that's one of the things that we've really tried to hone in on this store, is just how do we make this experience? Because we know that experience these guests have is the most important thing. How do we turn that bad situation into something that they can enjoy at least a little bit?
He brings up such a great point about having the right personality. I remember hearing some guys talk, who's selling tires, AJ, for example. Mm-hmm. You've got a really good tire person on the counter and someone who isn't. If the incentive is individual, then this guy who doesn't know tires really well is going to never give up the opportunity to give it over to the real good tire person. And the good tire person closes 80-90% of all deals. And so having a person who knows tires so well, he says, hey, listen, I'm going to toss you off to Matt. He's going to make sure you get the right tire for the right reason. And we've got so many choices here. And that's so smart, by not putting an individual who can handle a high dominant customer. Is it demanding and high? And some people can't. And you got to put that dominant service advisor in front of them to be there, if you will, equal.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was listening. I'm in a Vistage group, and we had our speaker, Cujo. I'm trying to remember his last name. He wrote the book Debrief to Win, and it was great. It was an amazing presentation. But we talk about, there's in the military, they have something what they call the commander's intent, right? If we've all extreme ownership, Jocko Willink's books, things like that. It's decentralized command, but understanding what that commander's intent is, understand the overlying mission. At the end of the day, this is the result we're looking for, but we're empowering you to go out there and do what needs to be done to make sure that mission is fulfilled. So, and if you're instilling that type of mentality across the board to all of your staff, service advisors, technicians alike, they understand what that commander's intent is, the overlying mission is. Again, for us, impacting lives is our core purpose, right? And one of our core values is create raving fans. And that's internal and external. But at the end of the day, that's the commander's intent. That's the mission. Go out and do that one thing, whatever it takes, right? And that's just the mentality you just kind of need to instill across the board so you can do something like that, hand off a ticket to someone else. It's not a that's not my job scenario where you're going to hear that kind of phrase or mentality. So yeah, that's, I think it's just looking at it that way at a 10,000 foot view is the way it should be discussed with your team.
John, I keep thinking about tools and responsibilities of the people in the company to make sure that experience is uncompromised. Talk to me about what you guys use.
Well, like one of the things, like I just mentioned, we have our weekly talks on the team about our core values. And then after that Joshy story that I did, we have little stuffed animals and Maxbox cars that we give out to kids. So now we have our technicians looking in the back seat of cars for car seats. And they notice a car seat in there. So they're like, give me a stuffed animal. Give me a Matchbox car. Let me put it in this car seat. So when the kid gets back in the car, look what they're going to have. And it just immediately it took off. So, I mean, they're looking around the car for, okay, is there a sticker of Taylor Swift sticker on it and a CD playing of Taylor Swift in the car?
You're not giving away tickets, are you?
No, okay. I can't afford that. No way. So they're just trying to look for something.
Wait a minute. Stop the presses. Yesterday, I'm interviewing someone. I just can't give the name out. You're going to have to guess to listen to all this stuff. And we're all done. And her phone rings. And she looks at it and she goes, oh my God, I'm going to have to call this person back right away. I says, something, family, what's going on? She goes, no, it's Taylor Swift's manager. We fix his car.
Oh, that's cool.
Sorry, didn't mean to go off the charts on you. But I know somebody who knows.
Yeah, right. Let the word go out, yeah.
Now you've made me lose my train of thought. I'm like, wow.
Taylor Swift, yeah.
So our technicians are while they're working, they're just looking around the car, seeing what clues they can pick up to give it to our advisors to even help them in the selling process or just do anything to upserve that client on it. So they're just constantly looking around. It's a team effort.
You've heard the story from Matt Lockowitzer, who's done this stuffed animal thing in a special. Every year there's a different version of their stuffed animal. And Matt, I think, Tracy, 29,000 was it last year out of his multi-store operation? Unbelievable. They backseat, whatever they had to do to get this, and people come in to get the new version of the animal every year. Well, isn't that cool? I mean, that's the neatest hook in the world.
Yeah, that is.
If you're going to do that kind of
stuff. It's a little things. It just, Scott even brought that up. And I've kind of just really trying to relay this to our team back home. It's like, it's the big difference is getting the little things right. Mm-hmm. And then just in that scenario too, it's the unexpected extras.
Yep.
What did we do to wow that customer, whatever it is, and making it personal. So I think there's always room for improvement for all of us, but it's not doing it as if, oh, I got to check a box and do this for this customer. It's just this instilling this want to really serve our customers. And again, our industry is horrible because it's a negative buy. Like no one is like, oh yeah, I'll get my oil changed today. No one is saying that. Now, I get to buy 4 tires for my vehicle. Like no one is looking forward to spending their hard-earned money, especially in our industry with as much as it's gone up. So whatever we can do to just like, someone's going to have a $3,000 bill, but walk out with a massive smile on their face. It's just that experience, that story. What story did you create?
Thanks guys. I want to move on to one other really important thing. You brought people here to Vision. John, you brought people here to Vision. I was looking at AJ. Did you bring people?
Whole team.
See, okay. Let's stop for a moment and say, so if people go to training, now they won't go to training. Do you pay for training? Well, I would just love, never mind. I won't ask you personally what it's costing you for the drive or the flights or whatever it is in the hotel and the food. But there's so much to get out of doing what you're doing. It's an intense 3-day, 4-day, depending on when you come. Tell us just how many did you bring, AJ?
It's 6 of us total. Actually, I'm a first time attendee. I got the little ribbon. So
awesome. You are the first timer?
Yeah. I brought 6 of my guys last year.
Okay.
So, but I just didn't come. So this is my first time here.
Cool.
But I brought 5 of the guys, so 6 of us total. I'd say all in, it's probably about, again, it's not an expense, it's an investment.
Thank you. Very good.
But $10,000 probably all in with flights, hotels. All right. And we got the 4-day package, and we got the dinner for Saturday, the whole nine yards.
But think of the concentration of training you're getting for your money.
Oh yeah, and there's all the intangibles too. It's the investment in their brain. Like I think Benjamin Franklin says it too. It's like if you pour your purse into your head, no one can take it away from you, right? Mm-hmm. So instilling this training, obviously in ourselves, but also in our people, and then also empowering them. Our goal is to really kind of put in and implement a strategy to get what these guys are learning, to get that to all the store, right? And so, and turning them into little teachers and leaders about what they've learned, try to create maybe a bullet point approach, a little 5-minute video. What were your big key takeaways? Like last night, we all went to dinner and just kind of went around the table and like, hey, what was your big takeaway from today? And just getting them all talking about what they learned. And I got a younger crew overall. Our guys are like really young. And I got one kid that's 22, another one that's 24, and just young guys coming in here. And they're just one, just the opportunity to be here. Like it's funny to us, right? But a couple guys had never flown on a plane before. I'm like, all right, here goes have kids, but I just felt like I had my dad hat on. And but just make sure no liquids over 3 ounces. Like just trying to like make sure you're covering all those bases. So they're just the whole experience already, besides the training, has been amazing. Just
it's a life altering opportunity. 100%.
And so I just think too, the intangibles on that is that loyalty aspect too. Like, wow, I'm working for a company that's really willing to make that investment in that training. It's just,
And thank you for saying investment. How about you, Matt?
So we've got five down here. We also bring all the significant others with as well.
No.
That's awesome.
Nice.
Oh, my. We've done that this year. It's been just fantastic to be able to do it.
You closed? You obviously closed.
Yeah, we did close.
And you told your customers what? We're going to be gone for a couple of days.
We're going to training to better serve you. I mean, we start advertising this 2 weeks ago just to like really pump them up and pump the staff up. And you know, we change voicemail recordings. We do stuff like that to prepare. But everybody, we've never had anybody complain about it. I think it's a new concept to a lot of consumers that, my shop is closing to go get better. That's not something that's very common. With us living so close to here, believe it or not, there's just not a lot of shops, even in our town, that come down here. They know of it, but I can't close for 2 days. But to me, I don't even care what it costs to be able to do this because of the impact it's had on me personally. I want to be able to give that back to all my team members. Yeah. So that it's just negligible. Like I know it's going to make them so much more better. It's going to keep them engaged in what they're doing. We have such a great culture in our shop of training and learning. I'm just really blessed to be able to do it. Great to be here.
I love that. It's cool.
Man.
Creating a memory.
It is.
It's not just the customers, it's the employees too. It's your shareholders and stakeholders, right? Yeah.
Imagine a young person, John, just talking to their peers, their family, their girlfriends, their boyfriends, going to 3 days worth of training. For what? To learn how to fix cars? What's that all about? I thought you just go to the parts store and magically you wave this thing and it works. I don't think people have a clue what it takes to do what we have to do. But the talking heads that come back that will share this knowledge with people will respect the kind of industry that we're in and the peers that they work with. And to your point, AJ, hey, you got to go back. You got to be a little talking head. We want to learn the biggest takeaway from this seminar. And oh, by the way, we have a problem as a team. This is the go-to person.
Exactly. Yeah. Empower them. And now it's kind of putting a little bit of ownership on in their space of what they've learned, right? And to kind of feel that sense of pride that being the resident expert in hybrids or electric vehicles or ADAS or whatever that might be. It's cool. It's like a little pump to the chest.
God bless both of you. John, I saw you with Edgar, who's been on the show before. Edgar Reyes.
Yes, Edgar's here. We got him, myself, and six others, so 8 of us total come up, actually.
Yeah, that's great.
Up for us.
Hey, let's face it. Your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the industry's best, most comprehensive SMS. Now, it all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you need to run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice, and having local representation is a huge plus. Customizing Trax to your business, whether you're a one-person shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company, a representative consults with you to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. Trax always has the flexibility to do business how you need to do it, which means it can also grow as your business grows. And unlike the other guys, we'll be there for you after installation with the best training and support in the business. Yes, a learning management system tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com.
I have not expected that in this episode that we would talk about this until I asked all of you before we turned on the mics. And I'm going to guess you're only one of 200 shop owners here that have their teams with them. There could be 500 because every time I run across somebody that I know that I've interviewed or I've been to their place, I say, coming down from Buffalo, me, Jim Fleischman, there were eight of us on the plane coming to Vision.
Yeah, super cool.
It's neat.
Really cool side story. We have this independent group and we meet monthly in town. Been doing it for 8 years. It's kind of an independent 20 group. And one of the owners said, oh, I'd love my son to go. It's probably too late. And one of Jim's people couldn't make it. What do you think he did?
There you go.
He called his buddy and says, send your son. Let's go. And was it that he never flew on a plane before? I can't remember. Oh, here's a cool story. One of Jim's people is a pilot on a Cessna. He's going for his pilot's license. He's never flown on a jet before.
Oh, that's funny.
Not never commercial. Been on a jet.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah.
and I talked to him and says, how was that jet ride? He says, I heard all the noises, Carm. It was really neat. I knew what we were doing. We got a lift off on 180. I don't know what the number is. It was so great. Cool. Thanks so much for that. Look, your biggest pivot to date, I mean, I think we can all look back and say that, man, you just actually almost explained it earlier, Matt, but I'd love to hear it more. AJ, I've interviewed you in the past. You've always told some great stories. You were a racer, damn it, in previous life. Yeah. Big pivot.
Yeah, well, I have to say, like, on more just being a little vulnerable here too on the personal side, I've gone through a lot really in the past year and a half, and there was a divorce that was a huge unexpected event that occurred at the end of 2022, and that in itself, just when you're getting store five online, there's a lot of added stress. But I love the fact that Ed Milet, being that opening keynote speaker, it's all about we all have to suffer. Suffer is where the growth really comes through. And when you're going through real tough times like that, that's for me, for example, I'm a man of faith. And I'm always going to lean in on that and know that there's a reason, right, that this is happening. And just knowing that the good Lord's with me every step of the way and that I'm going to have that strength no matter what's going to happen. And so it was really tough, too, in 2023, just, of course, trying to get these five stores staffed and moving in the right direction and growing. And unfortunately, as a result, I have to let go and thin the herd as far as like my leadership team, where these people were my ride or die partners. And that is tough to kind of have to make those terminations to kind of get lean. And so I'd say like the biggest pivot for me is I'm now in this position where, and this will kind of segue too, as far as like going from one store to multi-stores, like hindsight's always 2020, right? And the thing is too, I'm kind of going on tangents here, but there is no shortcut to this success. There is no silver bullet. You could be part of all the 20 groups in the world. You could talk to as many people that have been there and done that, but you are going to suffer. You are going to run into challenges. You're going to have these things that just are so unexpected that you'll just never prepare for. And you have to go through it yourself. And I can speak for anyone, even if it, just building one store or multi-stores or thing, anything that the majority of people are just not doing, there will be suffering on that path. And so the big pivot for us this year, looking at 2024, is leaning up and just getting operationally excellent. Back to what Scott had mentioned and what others are doing as far as those little things like that operational excellence, not tolerating mediocrity, just creating that consistent experience for our guests at all the locations. The front line is your brand, right? As Scott alluded to again during lunch. And it's just what that's my role now. I'm a coach. I look at my mentality and my role as a coach. I get that ability every day, every week to have a coaching opportunity with my team at all these different locations. And that's what hops me out of bed. I just love it.
Hey, do you fear you're like a sports coach or personal coach?
No, everything, a little bit of everything. It's, I think doing what we do, we have a lot of wisdom to pass on to who we are. And we all need to be having that mentality. Who are we cross-training to replace us? Matt and I got at it. I'm not sure if you were in that, John, with Hunt in his class about the what if scenario. It's a bus test. What if I get run over by a bus? Like, what's going to happen, right? Yeah. And so just understanding that we all need to be cross-training people or someone to assume our role at some point. And honestly, everyone in the organization should be the same way. Who are you developing and growing to kind of replace you, right? And trying to make sure that you're just creating more of a career path for everybody. But yeah, as far as that coach mentality, I love it. I mean, you want to inspire your people. You want to, one book too that was great that I read, it's so short, 1 Minute Manager. It's those very simple concepts, but again, back to the little things that people are not doing, those immediate redirects or those immediate praises, like, those little things that you're doing on a daily or weekly or monthly basis, whatever the cadence is, depending upon who you have to babysit more, the more that you're doing those little things, the more you're going to right the ship, the more that it's going to be going in the correct direction. And so it's that feedback loop, that proactive communication. It's all these little things that you need to be making sure that you're being intentional about this stuff. And that makes a massive difference throughout the entire organization.
Guys, I don't mean to steer this ship in a little different direction, but you just inspired me to think that Hewlett-Packard years ago in the 70s had this concept called management by walking around. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Peters picked it up in the 80s with his book In Search of Excellence. And just this past week, I've been hearing so much inspiration from the shows that I keep thinking about being out there, being a coach. You cannot do it from behind the desk. John, I mean, think about how you guys have grown.
Yeah, it's incredible. We've gone from 1 to 3 stores in 4 years. On it. And it's just from the 8 people or 8 teammates that we've had, now we have like 35 teammates. And just being able to touch all those lives every day, in and out, is just incredible. Like AJ says, you're a coach at that point in time. It's our biggest pivot was, I was thinking about this a couple of years ago, about a year and a half ago, is we went to our team meetings that we do. I started doing the team meetings we do one shop each day, and it's 10 to 15 minutes, and it's not much, but it's just talking about our core values to each, telling a story, like I said, telling the Joshy story to our team and relating it to our core values and just building all those up and instilling those in our teammates to make sure everybody's on the same page. If they're not, then they question us, and that's okay too. We may get challenged on it. I got challenged on something 2 weeks ago about a teammate, and then afterwards we had a private talk about it. So it's just being that coach, instilling those values in your team.
That is the thrilling stuff, is just being able to be guidance counselor, that coach, the personal growth. Like, again, it's, what does Zig Ziglar say? It's like, you can get everything you want out of life as long as you get everything that
help other people,
that your people want out of life. And it's so true. And that's the mentality.
Yeah. It's just building those people up. Cause I mean, yes, we're fixing cars, but that's not the end to the mean. It's the people is what it's about.
How long have you been in business, Matt?
3.5 years.
So you must have a few pivots under your belt.
There's been a lot.
I knew you'd say that.
Yeah.
Give us a few.
I think one of the things here, we've had a tremendous amount of growth in this 3.5 years. So we started out where it was just me as a technician. My wife was riding service for 4 hours a day. Our youngest son was 1 year old, and he was there running around the waiting area with her. Now we have 2 service advisors, 4 technicians, and then myself. We are an operation, I feel.
Wait a minute. Stop. That's the factor. 2 for 1. Am I right?
Is
that how you run
right.
your business?
Yeah.
2 for 1? Okay.
Absolute minimum 2, 3. But
okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And that's kind of where I go back to being a little bit heavy on this front end staff. But there's been a lot of stuff I've had to learn the hard way. And I'm not perfect. And
Wait a minute. Put your hands up if that's ever happened to you.
Two hands. Right. And I, as a leader, will go out and I'll flat out admit, be the first one to say, hey, I messed up. I didn't do something right. Call me on it. But I also expect my teammates to do that stuff too. One of the things that happened 2022, and we did an episode about this, was when I had a pretty serious arm injury. And I was at a transitional point in the business then because I was still very entrenched into the day-to-day work. So I'm still at the counter service half the day. I'm still fixing cars half the day. I had a bad injury and it took me off the floor for 9 months. I couldn't turn a wrench if I wanted to. I had to, at that point, refigure out what is my role here and why. And I just looked at that kind of as here is a sign that I need to do something different in my business. And it's easy to look at something like an injury like that and just get depressed and beat down. But that created something in me that I really needed. And it probably took that to do it.
Yep.
I had to redesign how the business worked. We had to go to 2 service advisors. We had to hire another technician to take my spot. And I needed to then become an owner and I needed to run the business and work on it. So what I learned then is that, you know what? I don't have the greatest leadership skills in certain areas. And it was really starting to cause issues. There was a lot of complacency. There was me letting people get away with things they probably shouldn't. It was starting to change the culture of the business. I learned early on that I wasn't hiring people for the right reasons. I'm hiring more for skill sets and what a resume shown rather than who is a fit here, who has a good attitude, who's a team player. So my biggest pivot to date is this last year, having to redefine what I need to be as a leader and then putting steps in place to do that. And I've still got a long road to go. but we're working on it actively. I've got a coach that I'm working with to go through this. I've had to make really difficult choices too in the business, and we have had to push some people out that weren't a fit. There may have to be more changes down the road, but to grow this business to what it needs to be, to give that great experience to the guests, to create an environment where I can attract and retain people, that's what it takes, and it's tough. And I don't like the toughness sometimes, and I've had to push through that.
And you'll have a bunch more.
It's coming.
Yep. It's good, but again, it's opportunity for growth, right? And again, if it was easy, everybody would do it. And again, it's those little things, being intentional with the little things, like Jim Collins. So Jim Collins, Good to Great.
Good to Great, yeah.
Good to Great.
It's just, there's understand your core focus. It's sharpen the saw. It's why we're here. Again, the 1% of the 1% are here. Mm-hmm. And it's because we're intentional about it. We're not checking the box. We really care. We really deeply care about what, and also too, I think we're all just fired up to be in this industry. I think we just absolutely love it with a passion. And again, that's why we're here.
It's new and it's different and it's challenging each and every day. And if you don't like that, then just keep turning wrenches and get out.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think sometimes, actually, we've hired some people that were at least seen the resumes. I'm sure we all have, where someone did dabble into ownership, realized it wasn't for them. You know what? I just want to work on cars. And that's great.
And I don't think that's a bad. It's not a bad thing.
Not at all.
We've talked about this a lot. And I would believe, AJ, Matt, John, that you would find an individual, once you qualified that they weren't transitioning so that they want to own another shop, but that they truly said, I'm not built for leadership. I'm not built for ownership. I'm really built to serve customers here in the bays, in the shop. Send me to class, continue to let me learn, and I'm going to be one of your most loyal people. That's a great interview to hear.
And so there's the entrepreneurs, right? But we all have entrepreneurs too that we need to make sure we're always giving them the tools they need, developing them. That's a win because they don't want to take the risk of what we go through as entrepreneurs, but they do want to thrive. They do want that ability to better themselves professionally, personally. And then along with that, as the result of that comes the paycheck. These are the people too that aren't like looking for the handout. These are the people that like ultimately do care about, and they're with you because they align with who you are, who you stand for, and your reputation, your brand, your values, whatever they may be. And those are the people that you just want to continue to develop and create that opportunity for them to be a lifer.
Thanks, guys. I want to do a clinic right now, a multi-shop owner clinic. We have one person here at the table that only has one store, and that's great, and that's okay. But we also have AJ with five and three from you, right, John?
Yes, three
so
for now.
Eight amongst you. By the way, what kind of great advice would you have this gentleman? Because he told us before we turned the mics on, he's toying with a new business plan that could include growth.
Right. Well, I could just start vomiting out all this stuff. But Matt, what is the one big questions do you have, you think, as far as that you as a sales what are the, like, and maybe the question's just as simple as I don't know where to start, but tell me, like, where's your head at?
I think the thing for me is when I wrote the original business plan, I was looking 3 to 5 years out, and we've surpassed all of that. Just thank the Lord for all of that. But now I got to look at, what do we do next? Because I feel that I was given a gift set to go give back skills to the community, and you guys do, and to take care of people properly. We've probably all worked for employers that didn't value us. And so I feel like I still need to spread this gift that I've been given. So I'm looking now, like, do we build a property with double the amount of bays? But I'm kind of the point now where I'm really exploring that. And this is a really unique opportunity because one of the things I'm looking at is an option for me to go multi-store, take a store across town. Then I really can put my footprint out and get back to a lot more areas. So I guess my first question for both of you guys would be, what was the feeling you had to finally go from 1 to 2?
I'm right there with you. That fire in the belly was there. Cause I remember I had an inflection point. My point was, it started with the one location, and that first podcast to do with you kind of talked about that story. But I remember distinctly, like, I was shuttling a customer home, and I remember driving back to the shop, and I was sitting at a traffic light. I'm like, is this it? I mean, because the shop was running on its own. I had two advisors. I had the four technicians. Everything was running. I could take time off.
It was so easy. It was so smooth. I got to do another one.
We did it. The plan was to build the business to run on its own. Right. And that was the function, and the goals were met. But I was like, there's more. There's got to, like, I have enough fire in the belly that I can't plateau. I don't want to plateau. I agree that there's like a God-given ability here that we got to, this is my ministry. I want to make sure that we can continue to preach this. So it sounds like you have that passion, mm-hmm. that fire, that drive, and that is an absolute must because it will be difficult. But when it, to go to two, I thought 2020 was going to be the year that we were going to go multi-store ownership. And of course, the pandemic hit. Yeah. We just went more into preservation mode.
Right.
But then as a result of that, there was a lot of access to capital. So the PPP, we had a great year too. It was our best year ever. So then it was 2021 that we decided we wanted to kind of pursue this. And meantime, right, it's just like trying to hire a great technician. We need always be recruiting. You always need to be also recruiting as far as a potential shop location, right? Just trying to network with the other shop owners in your area. Try to identify the ones that align with you. There's a lot of different ways of doing this. There's the new build approach. There's the brownfield approach. There's the acquisition approach of an existing business. I will say this. I can tell you what not to do as far as buying a business.
Frankly, it's not necessarily about buying or finding the business that I'm interested, but it's about, are you ever ready with processes and systems and good HR and finance, all that
stuff
before I jump into something and then realize, whoops, we have failed miserably. Both of these places are suffering because I didn't prepare.
That is true. You do want to make sure you have a massive reserve that's there. You do need to make sure that your baby, your firstborn, right, is running well and on its own, because you will not be there, right, when it comes to going for number two. The processes and procedures, of course, need to be there. And that's the thing. It's like if you're doing a brownfield, which is like taking in an old building and cleaning it up, or a brand new build, you're starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. You're starting at zero, which just it requires a massive amount of capital, time, marketing, cash to build that, to staff it, the right people in the right seats, as opposed to spending a little bit more for a location that already aligns with the type of business that you currently have, that's making money already on day one, that already has a great reputation. All the stuff that would require that sweat equity over time is already there and in place. And so that's the recommendation, quite honestly, is getting that, because there's a good chance if it's well run, it does have its own procedures and processes that are more or less in line with what you're doing. Again, the reputation's there, like all the boxes that are being checked of what you're doing now, hopefully this other business is also doing. So that makes it a bit easier. So again, you're cash flow positive on day one, assuming that the employees don't run for the hills. But, and there's the intricacies of actually securing the deal and making it a smoother transition. I'll tell you one thing I'll never do again is I did buy a business where the previous owner didn't tell his employees until the morning we closed on it. And I just remember walking in, it was like 11 o'clock. I called it the pizza offering. I just came in instead of the peace offering as a pizza offering. I just came in with some pizzas. And just the look of the dejection on their face, just like, and his son worked in the business too. Like he had no idea. Oh. I mean, it was like, whoa. So walking into that and knowing that, because that was the scariest part of the whole thing. Like if they walked out the door that day, I got nothing. Right. So there's a lot of the intricacies about what you can do and what not to do. But yeah, hindsight being 2020, looking and identifying that location that's already in alignment with what you do now will make things a lot easier as far as building up. You can get great deals. And I got some good deals on just some boxes. I got on some assets that, but again, it required staffing it, marketing, overcoming the reputation that was there before. I bought one store that I didn't realize they were dealing drugs out of this place before I got, like, it was just so much.
Story after story. Yeah. John, did you buy places? Did you start from scratch?
We are right in the middle of COVID. We opened up a brand new location, ground up, August 2020.
Insane. Was that the one that took like 2 years to get approvals on?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it took forever to get approvals on, and it cost an astronomical amount of money that we'll probably never spend that amount of money again, and I don't recommend it. But yeah, right in the middle of COVID, ground up, we thought we were going to rob some customers from our other locations because they're fairly close, but we didn't rob enough. That location has struggled mightily. We had a lot of the processes and procedures done, but we just didn't go in there with a good marketing plan. Mm-hmm. And we almost had no marketing plan because we thought we were going to build off of our brand that was so close. But it's the demographics from those two locations are wildly different. One area we've got retirees and double triple dipping from military and other ones. And the other ones is the working class families. And we didn't realize that until you don't know what you don't know on it. So we struggled mightily there. And it's have a better marketing plan is the one thing I would say. Just make sure you have a great marketing plan, because we didn't have one whatsoever.
Yeah.
When we went into that second location, the third location was a purchase. And it's, once again, it's, we got about, their teammates got about 2 weeks notice. They were,
that's better.
Were buying. Yeah.
Well, yeah. What is the, what do you think the standard but is?
We didn't retain any of those teammates.
Mm-hmm. On purpose?
Well, we had talked to all of them. There was a couple that we didn't want. There's a couple that we made offers to, and they decided not to come. And we were okay with that, because we had a plan in place, because we had a feeling talking to from the previous owners that they weren't going to stay. Because it was an old school shop. We're a little bit newer school technology that, okay, probably not keeping these guys.
Right.
So we need to have teammates in place. And we did
yep.
on that one.
And I'll say this too, because I remember, like, you just know that you building that first store, I just thought, oh man, if I could do this to the first store, I should be able to just sprinkle that magic dust on all these
yeah.
the additional add-ons. And it's not the case.
No, it's not.
Oh my goodness, it doesn't work like that. And so, yeah, there was this, I listen to this guy, Alex Hormozi, he says this a lot. It's paid down my ignorance debt. And that was a big one. And understanding, thinking, and being so naive that, oh, what I did here is, well, just do this marketing plan and this, just do it over here. Well, couldn't I see the double digit growth?
Isn't it fun to have the fourth store and then go to the fifth and have something surprise you that you never even thought of before?
Yeah. I mean, well, there's always surprises along the way.
Yeah. You can't be afraid. The point is
yeah.
you can't be, you'll never mm-hmm. do anything worth anything if you're looking for perfect.
Yeah. No, it's again, back to be, it's the pain, but I'll tell you what, it's going to make a great story when it's all said and done. And as Simon Sinek says too, it's not about your tombstone. It's not about the day you're born, the day you die. It's the dash.
It's
right?
the dash in the middle.
What's that tell? And what story does that tell?
Yeah, you have to be willing to step on a bad square and realize it's, okay, is that a mistake or a failure? Is a mistake, I knew that I shouldn't have done that, but I still did it anyway. Or is it a failure? Yeah, okay, that's not the right path. Let me try this square. Is that the right path to go on? And just learning from it and accepting the fact that, yeah, okay, yeah. So you're going to fail.
Yeah, there will be mistakes. There will be, yeah. But not that you get numb to it. Well, no, you do start to get a little numb to it. So after
you do. You do.
You wait for the buzz first thing in the morning. Like, okay, what's it going to be? You just pull the phone around.
All right. Okay. So Matt Wagg, did you learn anything in this discussion?
Hey, so one of my biggest takeaways here is going from one to two is probably going to feel no different than when I took the leap into the first one.
Right.
So you're not going to have that. Maybe I have a little bit of more confidence because I know what I've done. One of my biggest takeaways here is I hear this as much like my children, is that every one of my three, I have three sons, every one of them are polar opposite personalities. They don't operate anywhere near the same.
Oh, great analogy.
What I heard from you guys is that every store is going to be a little bit of that. And I guess I came into today thinking, just like you said, I can take what we've done, go multiply it, not the case. That is huge for me today. I really appreciate you guys giving me that advice.
You plan for the worst case scenario. And then understand, does the math work? And also, because you have a young family, talking, involving them in this, about what's to come, because it's going to be difficult. And just being uber transparent, as long as you have that support at home, gosh, that's huge.
Yeah.
It's absolutely huge. Because, yes, I was a little vulnerable earlier about a life event that occurred that came out of absolute nowhere.
Yeah.
But again, knowing in the moment that there was a reason for this. And then, gosh, Christine, she's my new bride now. My life has 10x'd. And again, back to Alex Hormozi, a guy I listened to, it's like he was talking to a mentor of his, and his mentor had asked him about his girlfriend or wife at the time, like, okay, so how does she improve your life? Is every facet of your life going up as a result of having that relationship, or is it going down? And I can truly say that every part, spiritually, my social life, my family, everything has gone up and to the right as a result of her just being like my absolute rock and being 100% in support of what we get to do every day. And I love it. And like, I hop out of bed, just like thrilled to do what I get to do every day. And that's just like remarkable.
That's good. So, good for you.
Let me try to summarize this last 10 minutes based on something you just said about my three different sons and about this discussion that we just had. It sounds to me like, and from your opinion of listening to AJ and John, that you'd have a business, you all have businesses with a single culture, but with different personalities. because of the marketplace and the team dynamics that exist. Mm-hmm. You can have one set of rules, but when you walk into your place, you're going to know. Let me see. Where is it? You're going to know, AJ, I'm in Edgewater.
Right. Now, that's a good point. I'm alluding to a group that I'm a part of, tire store owners. There's one group with 70 locations. And that's the thing. It's there are like little, there is a culture between every
location.
Pockets. Mm-hmm. And it does all start at the head, right? At the leadership of at a store level. It starts with them. But I agree. It's so true that you do have, okay, this is the rule set and the playbook in which we run and operate. And there's different styles of leadership. And there's not like really, there's the Steve Ballmer from Microsoft. He's like almost like Ric Flair. And then you've got John Maxwell, which is very much more like a pastor, right? So you have very different types of, and there's not anything wrong with it. Yeah. It's just being
authentic. But it's authentic what works. And, it's all that. It's what works with you and what you feel most comfortable in your bones being a leader that wants to give to people and share everything around you. Matt Wagg, Accelerated Diagnostics and Automotive, Bennington, Nebraska, AJ Neely's Auto and Tire, John Long, Total True Automotive out in Texas. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks to Napa Trax for sponsoring and Napa Auto Care for having us here at Vision 2024, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.